Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. This is News Talk 1230 WFAS. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going to break down college football games yesterday. We'll break down Johnny Manziel, as always, because he always somehow finds his way into the news. But more importantly, this is our first show of 2013 there was the Super Bowl. But this is our first show of the 2013-14 NFL season. They were actually going to get into regular season NFL games.
It doesn't get any better than this. And I'd just like to say right now, next week, Roy, you're going to have the show to yourself. So we're going to try to cover a lot of stuff. And we're going to even make our picks, our early week picks. Like if we're in Vegas and we're looking at the numbers and the lines are out. And by the way, the lines are out right now for next week because there's a Thursday night game. And when there's a Thursday night game, all the lines are out. It's Sunday morning in Vegas. It's only 7 o'clock this time last week. I was already up for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
You were there in Vegas.
Yeah, getting ready to do the show. And I hope everybody enjoyed listening to me on a hard line from my bathroom. But I didn't say this last week because we didn't have time, and when we cut off, we cut off. But the reason I was in my bathroom was because the battery in the phone from the room was cutting out after about an hour, So I went in the bathroom and charged my phone, then I came back and I got it.
See, I thought it was because of the complimentary breakfast.
No, it was for my complimentary take a dump is what it was. I mean, you know, I drank so much coffee, I had to sit on the toilet. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's been a fun-filled week. You know, they got the numbers down to 53 in the NFL on the rosters. Not a lot of surprises, but there are a few that we're going to go over. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of the biggest surprises happened in New York with the Jets. Greg McElroy does not – now, here's what I don't understand about that. But first of all, who's the mentor? Not Sanchez. I mean, there is no mentor right now for Geno Smith in New York. And it's almost like they're setting him up to fail. You know, there's so many conspiracy theories here. Matt, don't say anything about sports. Put the microphone down.
I'm not saying there is a mentor. He just does the opposite of what he's told. Hey, run into that guy's butt.
Yeah. Well, then.
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, the problem is McElroy's actually a very good quarterback. He was a national champion at Alabama. I mean, you know, he's a good quarterback. He had a decent... The only thing I can think of is they might have released him as a favor so he could hook up with somebody this week. Because there are some teams that are carrying an extra... Now, the Washington Redskins.
Carried four.
Perfect
four.
Example. They have four guys. There's another team that has four also. The New York Jets have four. They've got Sanchez. They kept the Sims kid.
Yeah.
He stayed because he had a phenomenal week, but he's not going to probably make it.
The Jets only have three because they cut McElroy.
Oh, that's right. They cut McElroy.
They have Geno. Oh, their official depth chart says Sanchez / Geno Smith as a starter, but we both know that yesterday in a press conference they announced that they were done with the Mark Sanchez era. So Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez, Matt Sims.
You know, there are several teams, and the Buffalo Bills – is the one I can think about with the injury to their first-round draft choice, C.J. Manuel or E.J. Manuel. Mm-hmm. The thing about the Bills is they're just not very good, period. I mean, I don't see the Bills right now coming out of this year. I mean, I don't see them winning six games. But Rex Grossman is on the roster still for the Washington Redskins. He'd be perfect in Buffalo. He'd be better than anybody they have and could be a mentor for E.J. Manuel.
Did I see correctly that the Bills cut Matt Leinart?
Yes, they did.
So their official depth chart still has Matt Leinart on the depth chart as their number four quarterback, but I'm pretty sure
that's
on the bottom
right.
ticker it said that Matt Leinart was released by the Bills.
So you almost have to go to the – like if you go to NFL.com, generally speaking, that's what I did all night last night before I went to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. I went and saw your New York Mets, by the way, with mostly AAA players. And, oh, by the way, Ike Davis – pull the muscle. He pulled a rib muscle.
Pulled a butt muscle.
No, he pulled a what do you call the ones that are right here? He pulled a
believe it or not,
like an intercostal muscle swinging at a ball last night after he had a 2-run bomb the night before to beat the Washington Nationals. But Van Decker had his first hit last night. They were up 8-0 on the Nats last night before anybody knew what happened.
Yeah, it was rough.
And it was Zach Wheeler got the win. He pitched 5 great innings. Then all of a sudden, the Nats started getting to him a little bit. They got him out of there. But they ended up winning 11-3. And as you'll see here in a little while, I picked the Mets to beat the Nats again today. The Nats are just – there's just problems with those guys. But the Mets are playing with basically a Triple-A team because they let two of their best guys go. You know, Buck and what's his name?
Yes. He's a Pirate now.
Yeah. Marlon Byrd. Marlon Byrd, who's been a National, he's been with the Cubs. He's been with every team, I think, in Major League Baseball. But he's still a great player at age 38. They let him go. As a matter of fact, they let him go the day before they were supposed to have Marlon Byrd T-shirt night in New York. And
it was the day of.
10,000 Marlon Byrd T-shirts were there, but Marlon wasn't there. Yeah. He was gone already.
He's a Pirate now.
Yeah, and you know what? The Pirates, I hope they win it all. I really do. The reason I want them to win it is because they may never win it again.
I feel really bad. I went to West Virginia, which is like 30 miles, 40 miles
right
south
next door
of Pittsburgh.
Right,
we got, on all of our radio programming, we got the Pirates and the Penguins and the Steelers and the minor league baseball team. I don't remember what they were called, but regardless, we got all of the Pittsburgh programming. So you either loved or hated Pittsburgh sports when you went to WVU. And I was one of the ones I hated all Pittsburgh sports except for the Pirates, because the Pirates were terrible. You know, so they had that soft spot in you. Whereas the Penguins won 2 Stanley Cups when I was there, and the Steelers won 2 Super Bowls while I was there. So I hated both of those teams. But the Pirates, they'll always have a soft spot in me. So I wish them the best.
Yeah, they have a great chance. St. Louis isn't playing particularly well. Their pitching seems to be kind of falling by the wayside all of a sudden. Cincinnati has been struggling. As a matter of fact, there was a problem this past week with their second baseman going off in the manager's office at a reporter who had sent a tweet about his on-base percentage. Well, that could have been me, because I'm talking on-base percentage all the time. And, you know, an all-star second baseman ends up, you know, just going off. Mm-hmm. And they're up and down. And we're gonna do our picks probably in the last couple of segments of the show for Major League Baseball. We're also going to do our NFL picks late. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the changes that have been made. And all of a sudden, Roy, one thing that has me concerned a little bit is the commissioner's already starting with the fines. The fines. You know, maybe they're trying to build this, you know, nest egg they have that they can throw into the union. We also got to talk about the $765 million settlement.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a lawsuit. It was a settlement.
That's a win, though, for the NFL.
Well, it's a win for the league. It's not a win for the players because they didn't make any plans for a future pool for monies to go into. They're going to have to do that. I mean, in my opinion, 10% off the top of the bottom line for every team is going to have to go into a fund for this reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a lot of stuff out there. I was listening to a couple of radio shows on the way in today, and I got to tell you, you know, there's just a lot of feedback on that. You know, one of the biggest things that I was hearing talk about was, where do you start this? Do we sue Pop Warner? Do we sue high school?
Yeah.
Do we sue college? Certainly, college kids hit just about as hard as guys in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing. You know, for the first time, Roy, in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute with more NFL, more Major League Baseball, and just about anything. If you want to call us, give us a call at 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. We'll be back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230
WFAS. Give them the news. It's not news yet, but it could be news.
This is it's very interesting news,
interesting.
I guess. There's a rumor going around right now on NFL.com that says Tim Tebow, obviously he was cut this weekend by the New England Patriots. Well, NFL.com seems to think that he could become a Raider. Now, it's very hard to open up the show with Tim Tebow news as he is now just a homeless quarterback. But the Raiders...
homeless quarterback. Sounds like the guy I give $5 to down at the ballpark every day.
The Raiders' current quarterback right now is Terrell Pryor, who left college early. He was a...
He got in trouble.
It's not the Rule 5 because that's baseball, but it was...
I think he had to sit out a year and then he became eligible.
What's the name of that draft, though? The NFL, off-season draft.
Secondary draft or something like that.
He was drafted in that, and the Raiders ended up having to give up a fourth-round pick in that next draft. So they took him in an odd year out. He played a little bit last year with Carson Palmer, who is now a Cardinal, I believe.
He's the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, and thank God, Larry Fitzgerald is doing flips about it.
Yeah, he's thinking his lucky stars.
He'll have somebody that can actually throw the ball down the field accurately.
So Terrell Pryor, the starting quarterback in Oakland, and I honestly don't know who their backup is. So Tebow, it makes sense. And when I see a rumor with him going to Oakland, I'm like, maybe, maybe not. But when NFL.com puts out a rumor saying, could he be a Raider? My ears perk up a little more. But, I guess he could start in Oakland.
Well, I can find out. I'll call Reggie McKenzie. McKenzie will take my call. Hell, we ought to call him now. I'm sitting here looking. These are the, they don't have their, the statistics I'm looking at are from last season, which is pathetic because I really don't want to see last season. But the Raiders in general have problems. Their leading rusher last year was Darren McFadden, who was injured half the year.
Yeah.
He had 216 attempts, 707 yards, a 3.3 yard per attempt average for a guy that a lot of people think is, one of the more elite running backs in the league. Marcel Reese, 4.6 yard average. Their best receiver was Brandon Myers, 79 receptions, 10.2. I mean, they just needed help. Terrell Pryor last year, 14 for 30 for 155 yards. He had a 70.8 rating. The thing about Pryor is he's got nothing but upside because the kid never finished college. So, even though he went to Ohio State and played his freshman year, and then he was deemed ineligible to play his sophomore year, and that's when he came in. I don't even think he played 2 years, Roy. I think he only played 1 year. But the thing about Pryor is he's athletic and he can play. But then so were a lot of guys that haven't been able to make it in the league. The Green Bay Packers released the big guy from University of Texas.
Vince Young.
Yeah, Vince Young got
released by the Packers.
Yeah, he got released by the Packers. He's available now. The one thing that McCarthy said was he wished he had had more time with him. If he'd have picked him up earlier, he could have come to OTAs. If he'd have come to OTAs, McCarthy thought he would have kept him. And if that's the case, he may be a guy that gets picked up by Oakland. Maybe Oakland. Maybe Tebow's not the guy, but maybe Vince Young is. I could see those nasty guys in the black hole in Oakland, liking him because he's a little bit of a freak. He's had a rough time emotionally. Yeah. He suffered from clinical depression. There was a time when Vince Young was losing it, so to speak, at Tennessee when everybody was looking for him. They didn't know where he was. Mm-hmm. They didn't know where his car was. I don't know if you remember that, but it was a nasty time for Vince Young and his family. And now he supposedly is better. He's probably medicated. They just came out with a report this week. I don't know who came out with it, but it was on national news. 10% of the American public take antidepressants. That's 1 in 10. I'm one of them. Huh. I take Lexapro. It saved my life 7-8 years ago. And, at least saved what was going on in my life. But I got to tell you, it seems to have worked for him because this guy is a totally different guy. If you've ever seen him interviewed now, he really doesn't get excited. He's always got nice things to say about people. I kind of like Vince Young. When he came out of college, He was like a guy that went to West Virginia, Major Harris. You couldn't touch the guy if he ran. Not only could you not tackle him, you couldn't even get your hands on him because he was running like a 4.440 and had great moves. And then, you know, Tennessee picks him up. And by the way, did you know the story on Tennessee when they picked up Vince Young and took him with like the fourth pick in the draft? Third pick in the draft. They were going to pick Matt Leinart, and Matt Leinart went out with Paris Hilton for 3 weeks straight. The owner of the Tennessee Titans is a very religious man, and he said, there's no damn way I'm taking that kid. He's a mess. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Paris Hilton, Tennessee Titans, thank you, because what a waste of money that would have been.
I mean, talk about a terrible draft.
It was horrible.
How genius do the Bills look now for taking Mario Williams that year?
You know,
remember
absolutely.
That everyone was yelling and screaming about Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, who hasn't really panned off either.
No, you know, he's just marginal, kind of, because he's been out so much.
I mean, he's
gets hurt.
He's
gets
been
hurt
a lot. You know, I mean, he's had his moments.
He looks to me like he's getting better. He's getting better. Yeah, well, he had to give the ring back. Well, no, I mean, I'm talking about his NCAA.
Yeah, the Heisman he had to give back.
Yeah, well, I don't think they took it. He was supposed to give it back.
Did he lose it? I would have lost it.
Well, he lost the title of Heisman Trophy winner.
But the trophy itself.
Do you remember who was second that year?
Vince Young.
No wonder Vince is mad.
Yeah.
You know, Vince is like, they just gave me a Suburban. Reggie got a Ferrari in a house. Remember, they gave his parents a house.
Yeah, well, he gave
his house.
Yeah, he bought his, Reggie Bush bought his mom or something like that a house. Yeah, that's taking $100 handshakes to a whole other level.
I'm Bruce Hall. I'm here with Roy Edwards, and we're talking NFL, and we're just kind of going off one thing to another. You know, I wanted to wait to do the NFL, but you know what?
How can you wait, though?
Yeah, I can't wait. We got AFC. We got NFC. Let's do this. Pull up NFL.com, and let's start talking about what Roy and I are going to do is we're going to give you – pretty much, we'll go over every division. Let's start with the AFC because I want to talk about the Jets before I talk about the Giants. You know, by the way,
all in for Week One, baby.
When I saw you picked Eli Manning, I was so happy because I can probably hang with you because Eli's not going to have a good year because the Giants receivers aren't going to have a good year. I just don't think the Giants are going to have a good year. I'm really worried about it. I think it's. I said earlier on Twitter this week, this is Tom Coughlin's last year.
I had two guys on my board. I had Eli Manning and I had Mike Vick. Mike Vick.
Boy, that would have been so. Those who got Mike
two.
Vick? Anybody I know?
Somebody after me, because I didn't take Vick.
Right. He didn't go in the first round. There's no way.
Well, I took Eli in like the seventh round. So Vick went in like eight or nine. But I had we had a 14-team draft, which was extremely deep.
God, that was awesome. And thank God that we have a computer that can select my people, because there was no way I was going to be able to do it. I had to go to the ball game last
night. Here comes
night.
Matt to brag Matt, about his A-.
I don't mind the computer
Matt,
draft.
Matt had the computer pick for him, and Matt got an A-minus rating. So, Matt, my suggestion you do is don't pick
Apparently he's the expert now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I only made it to one game of the playoffs, and you beat me last year. So didn't I play you first game? I think I did.
I think I did.
You beat me.
I might have made it to the championship last year.
Yeah, you beat me last year in the first round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I was like a B-minus, I guess. Yeah.
Well, you're a B this year. I think I'm a B,
I didn't
too.
Pick, and I'm perfectly happy with that.
So,
and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
But, those were – I was down to Mike Vick and Eli Manning, and there's so much hype surrounding Mike Vick this year, and with the new offense from Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly's going to work him in there. I mean, and you know what? The thing that's nice about Mike Vick is he can run right or left, and he can throw going to his right or his left.
Yeah,
but he can do both because he's got such a great arm.
He does. He's got a big
And you know what? As long as Mike doesn't hold the ball too long, he'll be fine. Yeah. The problem that the Eagles have is they've got kind of a makeshift offensive line, and their defense is pathetic. They picked up two guys that got cut this week that were cut early in camp and brought them in, and I'm pretty sure they made their 53-man roster, and that just tells you that They're absolutely hurting for guys that can tackle.
Well, they're going to be an offensive team. There's no doubt about
absolutely.
That. I mean, the Eagles, they have a deep threat in DeSean Jackson.
Right.
They have a hell of a running back who is going to run that Chip Kelly system very well in Shady McCoy.
I agree.
And then they have Mike Vick, who to me is – he's the link. A couple of years ago when he destroyed the Redskins on Monday night and the Eagles were looking like the big dog in the NFC East the year the Giants won the Super Bowl – That was the Mike Vick that Chip Kelly hopes to see this year. Not right. the Mike Vick that they saw last year, who looked like he was on a one-way ticket out of the league.
Yeah, he's got two decent guys backing him up. Nick Foles and Matt Barkley are still there. They're keeping three quarterbacks. Now, there are some teams that are only keeping two quarterbacks. But the mm-hmm. teams that are keeping two quarterbacks, what they're basically saying is, at this point in the season, we need as many special teams players as we can get. Tacklers as we can get, receivers as we can get. But if you look at the Eagles' offense, and you know what? Let's start with the NFC East.
Sure.
Since we just already started talking about the Eagles, Riley Cooper, of course, there was a lot of stuff. Good receiver. Jason Avant is a backup. He's not a bad receiver at all. You know, and if you look at their offensive line, they've got three guys that are decent. Jason Peters is decent. Jason Kelce is decent, their center. And Todd Harriman's has been on the team for years. All three of those guys are good. Brent Celek is their tight end. Celek mm-hmm. probably went fairly high for a tight end in the draft.
He's a good dynamic.
DeSean Jackson, if he's healthy.
They also drafted the tight end out of Notre Dame, didn't they?
Zach Ertz.
They did, right?
Zach Ertz is, I'm pretty sure, if he's from Notre Dame, he's either from Notre Dame or Stanford. I think he's a Stanford guy.
Maybe it was Stanford.
Yeah, it is. And that's Zach Ertz. He's the guy that they call him Velociraptor because his arms are short, but he's like 6'8". Zach Ertz is actually decent. I'm looking at this team. Offensively, they're tough.
Yeah,
but
right.
let me give you their defense. Patrick Chung, who was cut by the
Patriots.
New England Patriots.
Yeah. He's a USC guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Trent Cole is a decent outside linebacker. D'Amico Ryans came from Houston, where you know he was a free agent that they signed. Connor Barwin is decent. Fletcher Cox is a second-year guy. Isaac Sapoga is all right. Cedric Thornton's not very good. Defensively, they're hurting. And where they're really hurting, Patrick Chung is their best tackler.
Don't they have a Matthews little brother on that team?
Who's that?
Clay Matthews' little brother, don't they?
No. I don't think so. He didn't make the team if they did. Hmm. But anyway, their special teams, they're okay. You know, I see the Eagles, honestly. You know, we do handicap the NFL here every week. We do work with the people that listen to our show. I compete in the National Handicappers Bowl. I will tell you who I'm on, and I'm going to be on the over for the Eagles every week until they don't cover the over. You understand? Because mm-hmm. that over with the Eagles could get up close to 60 points if they can't tackle. I'm Bruce Hall, and I can tackle. I always could. But I probably have some kind of concussion syndrome, too. And I got it from, like, club football. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to sue all the club football leagues in the country because that's the reason I forget stuff every once in a while. It's not the fact that I'm going to be 60 my next birthday. It's the fact that I hit somebody with my head at some time.
Mm-hmm. Casey Matthews. He plays for the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm looking. Right. Yeah, but he's not. I don't see him.
He's not on there?
No, he's not on their depth chart. He might have got cut.
Casey Matthews surprisingly makes roster.
Well, then he's on there.
So surprisingly. So he's not going to make it.
I don't even see him on here.
When you have surprisingly makes roster in front of your name, you're probably not going to make it.
Well, you know what? There's nothing better than DNA. You can't teach that.
That's true.
That comes out. And by the way, his uncle and his father and his brother are pretty damn good.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Eagles defense could use a Matthews.
They need like four Matthews.
He just needs to grow his hair out and look as close to his brother as possible. And then maybe just the look alone will help him tackle people. Because
you know,
the Eagles, they are. I mean, I know it's just preseason. You can't hang your hat too hard on preseason, but they are going to be in trouble. If you take the how poorly they looked in the preseason and you add that up-tempo offense on top of it, that's going to be one tired
defense. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the Eagles 5-11. I don't think they win six games because I think in the East, with the Redskins and the Cowboys playing pretty damn good, and you got the Giants in the mix, I don't see the Eagles winning more than one or two games in the division. Let's talk about the Giants. We got 30 seconds till the break. Let's talk about the Giants briefly right now, then we'll pick up the Giants when we come back. The preseason for the Giants, in my opinion, they got a D-. It was horrible. Every time I watched them play, it was like they didn't want to be out there. And no, there was no enthusiasm whatsoever, except in the second half when all the kids that aren't going to make the team were playing.
Yeah, I mean, their wide receivers were hurt, but we'll get into this NFC East here on the other side of the break. You're listening to News Talk 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Giants real quick. Roy's going to pull them up. Obviously, the Giants' offense is all dependent on moving to football. Yeah. And I've got a Giant on my fantasy team, the running back from Virginia Tech, David Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I have a Giant.
I got their quarterback.
Yeah, you got Eli Manning, and that's who you wanted, too. You got him. But here's the thing. Victor Cruz, how's he going to do? Right?
Yeah.
You know,
it's a big question mark. So is Akeem Nicks with his injuries.
Akeem Nicks looks like he weighs 250 pounds. I mean, he looked – I was wondering why he always had his shirt tail hanging out during the preseason. That's why. He's fat, and he's not running, breaking off routes. Well, you know, he injured his legs, right? Didn't Nicks have a bad Achilles or something?
Yeah,
I mean, he was injured. That was his excuse. I mean, that was basically what was going on.
Is that the football equivalent of wearing a T-shirt into the pool?
No, it's the equivalent of a girl wrapping her sweatshirt around her waist so you can't see how big her hips are, and it makes her hips twice as big.
I'm feeling bloated. I think I'll just leave my shirt tail out.
Yeah, no kidding.
But both Nicks and Cruz, they were both injured all preseason. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this New York offense because there's no real big-name running back. I mean, Wilson is the supposed guy, but a couple of years ago, he was the one who was having fumble problems.
Yeah, we may be having Sean Salisbury call in during this segment or the next segment. Sean, of course, is former NFL quarterback and one of the funniest guys I've ever listened to on the radio and ever met and talked to. Sean hopefully will be on today, and we're going to talk about everything. He's big on the NCAA. And he watches all the games, and you can follow him on Twitter. I mean, he's all over Twitter.
Which we both had big weekends in the NCAA this year.
Yeah.
Or this year. This weekend. I'm already counting years. Hey, you went undefeated, did you not?
Yeah, I did.
And I went 80%, going 8 for 10. So
yeah,
say we're both sitting pretty happy this morning.
Yeah, I did have a good day yesterday, and it's very rare that happens. And I got to thank Clemson. Oh, I got to thank Mark Richt in Georgia for playing just horribly in the second half and parts of the first half. I mean, Georgia obviously has a lot of talent, but they're not using it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And Clemson, God, Taj Boyd, how good is he?
Are they the real deal yet?
They're getting there. You never know with Clemson. You know, they'll play great one day.
They're the let-you-down team.
Yeah, they are.
Team
who... Well, South Carolina, they got they play at the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, Clemson has everything together now with this Georgia win. That's a hang-your-hat-on win. They're obviously going to move up in the polls.
Right.
Because Georgia's dropping in the polls. So let's say they move into top five. Let's say they lose one game or don't lose any games at all because you're right, they have that South Carolina game that's late. But the ACC is weak this year. The ACC is down. And let's say they run through the ACC and they win the ACC and they don't lose a single game until that SC game at the end of the year. And maybe they lose maybe a field goal or maybe they win. They're a national championship contender so long as Ohio State poops a bed somewhere.
No, I agree. And Ohio State didn't look that good yesterday. I like the way they went for the first two touchdowns against the University of Buffalo.
Well,
they even have a Division I program, or
Urban
is that 1AA?
Urban Meyer really, really needs to run scores
well,
up.
Well, he didn't cover yesterday.
And that is
not
a huge
good.
Issue.
I love it
for people within Ohio State and people in the top 10 or in the top 25 votings. Because in order for Ohio State to stay at that number two, they're going to have to beat teams like Buffalo by a billion, because their schedule is so weak. They got Northwestern and they have Michigan.
Right.
Hopefully those two teams stay ranked and are ranked when Ohio State plays them, because without them, their record is dog.
Well, I mean, if you look at the games yesterday, I mean, even Texas A&M with the Johnny Manziel drama and all that crap, you know, they gave up 31 points to Rice. How good is that? You know, that's not good. I mean, Rice doesn't have a good football team.
There are very
Rice
few teams
They're a
who
Conference
looked
USA
good.
Team
yeah.
that's normally not even in the mix. I mean, in Conference USA, which is East Carolina's last year in it. They're ranked number one in one of the divisions already.
Yep.
Ohio plays Louisville today. Now, Ohio has Mickey Tettleton's son at quarterback. Of course, all you people out there are going, what are they doing? They're talking NCAA. This is how we wheel it, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to come back to the NFC East in a minute.
Just walk with us,
but
right?
Yeah, just hang there with us because we're going to talk about NCAA football because I'm talking Sean Salisbury, and I'm hoping he's calling in. I'm praying he is.
Fingers crossed. Over here.
You know, hopefully he wasn't in. Hopefully, yeah.
Matt, stay on the phone lines
Matt,
there,
Matt's
right?
looking at the lines. North Carolina lost to South Carolina. That line, it ended up going off at 12.5. I had South
they
Carolina.
Covered.
I had them in two super. I had them in a super teaser and a regular teaser, and they hit 3-0 for me yesterday. I love South Carolina early in the season. I don't like them late in the season. They always seem to be a little thin on both, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But with Clowney this year, I don't see how, as long as he's healthy, how are they going to lose?
They,
they could go undefeated.
Cheap shots galore on Clowney. He was getting rolled. I mean, and for those of you who say that he didn't make that big of an impact, the kid controlled that line. He was getting double and triple teamed, and he was causing a lot more problems than it looked. He was taking up blockers. He was forcing running backs. So I know the sacks weren't necessarily there, but the pressure was there, and he played a huge role in that.
Oh, absolutely. And if you take on blockers in the middle of a defense more than one at a time, you are creating opportunities for your other guys to make tackles.
But that's the issue with Clowney and the Heisman is
right.
that –
tackles.
It's going to be like that all season.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Where he is one of the top
it's
players
be
in the country.
It's going to be a quarterback. You know that. It's
he's going to be the top player in the country, probably. He'll probably be the number one overall draft, and he will have had a hell of a season.
Who's going to get him? That's the question. Is it going to be Buffalo?
But he's not going to have anything to hang his hat on for the Heisman. It's so bad that the
By
Heisman
the way,
voting might as well just become Offensive Player of the Year.
Speaking of Sean Salisbury, USC beat Hawaii 30-13 last night. Not a real good game. USC, we talked about last week.
It's a big win for USC.
Over Hawaii, who's really not that good. But they didn't cover. That line was also
It
was 22.5 is what it started out at. I mean, you're not looking at the lines,
no,
are you?
No, I am.
Okay.
Here it says they covered, but I guess...
No, they didn't cover. It was 22.5. Alabama, it's 30-13 was the final. I'm good at math, 30 minus 13, 17. Alabama, 35-10, covers against Virginia Tech. All the techies today, Roy pointed out on Twitter, are saying, oh, man, they didn't do anything. Yeah, they only had a little over 200 yards total offense, but they had like 500 yards special teams. You guys can't tackle. That's supposed to be Frank Beamer's bread and butter, and Alabama
Beamer
shoved
ball
it
didn't
up your,
show
you know
up.
What?
Yeah, it was terrible.
But anyway, Alabama covered. That was a great cover for me. I love that Buffalo covered against Ohio State. I'm learning to hate Ohio State because the more I read about their wonderful, coach, it seems like all he had was a prison team.
Did you
now,
read
the
that?
University
did
of
you read that Rolling Stone article?
Yes, I did.
Which we'll
I read
into,
part
we'll,
of it.
We will get. Heavy
I read
into
the
that
first
later.
Two pages of it. That was all I needed to
that
read.
That thing is like 12 pages long. I read
it's
the entire
great,
thing.
Well, you know what? Rolling Stone. They can say what they want about the article. They do their homework.
They do.
On all of that stuff. Oregon crushes Nickel State. Oregon still hasn't forgotten how you can end up number one. 66-3. Oh, Nickel State, is that a 1-2? I don't even know if that's
they
a
gotta, division. They got to be a 1.
They're terrible. I mean, but anyway, Oregon scores 66 points. They probably played everybody. Clemson beats Georgia 38-35. Texas A&M, we already talked about, beats Rice. I love that Florida doesn't cover against Toledo 24-6. That was great. Toledo hung tough with them defensively for a while.
How about Towson beating up on UConn?
You had that one.
I had that.
Yeah, you had that one. But University of Connecticut, ever since that guy left and went to the University of Maryland, they haven't been the same.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of people were after that guy at Maryland. He's doing all right now. They went out and crushed yesterday. Oklahoma wins 34-0. And for you people who think that's not a big deal, Louisiana Monroe's not bad. If you watch Duck Dynasty, Louisiana Monroe is who those guys support.
That's who the old man played for.
Yes, it is. They used to be called Louisiana Tech. That's where Terry Bradshaw went too. 28-6, Notre Dame beats Temple. Whatever.
Are they with the La Tech? Yeah. There is a La Tech still.
No.
This is a new La Tech?
That's the new La Tech. La Tech hasn't been there
for
a while.
So La Tech is different than Louisiana Tech.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Texas, Louisiana has like 14.
Texas 56 to 7. Yeah, they do because it's nice ridiculous. Down there. 56 to 7. Texas beats New Mexico State. New Mexico State's never any good. Michigan crushes Central Michigan. Somebody called me and told me to take Central Michigan, and I hadn't done my homework on them, and I didn't. Thank God. What were they thinking?
Who was messing with you?
That's I don't know. But that, I mean,
unknown number.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan pulled their starters, it looks like, sometime in the third quarter and only won by 50. But you know what? That Michigan was 17. Maybe
whoever
they want to be 7.
Whoever called you to tell you that, you block that number.
Yeah,
you call
I don't even know who it
provider.
Was. It might have been tweeted to
who
me.
Who is this?
Washington beats Boise State. By the way, Washington's not bad this year.
I know. They beat me.
They beat Boise State 38-6.
I had Boise plus 3.5. I thought that was a shoe-in.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? If they're not playing on blue turf, they evidently can't win. Northwestern beats Cal.
I had that. Those are my boys.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I love Northwestern.
They got one of the best coaches in the country. UCLA crushes Nevada.
Northwestern last year against the spread, 9-1.
I know. They had the best against the spread record in the country last year.
One of them.
Eastern Washington, 49. Oregon State, 46. That's huge because Eastern Washington is in that other conference nobody talks about over there. Oregon State, of course, Pac-12. They get beat at the last minute. Wisconsin shuts out UMass. What kind of game is that? UMass is terrible, and they're playing Wisconsin, but they probably got paid about $500,000 to go there.
Oregon State loses to Eastern Washington,
yeah.
Who Eastern Washington's wide receiver coach used to play for Oregon State. So
gotta
they had
that.
The inside there. He's about a four years out of playing there. So they were very familiar with each other. So
now, we've got a game today, but it's Mississippi Valley State against Florida A&M. Don't even think you can get that unless you're in Vegas, maybe.
There's Louisville.
Louisville.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, and you also, Monday, tomorrow, Florida State opens up in Pittsburgh. And Florida State, that could be a better game than a lot of people think.
Pittsburgh's not,
are they bad this
Pittsburgh
year?
Pittsburgh sucks. They always suck.
They don't always
That's
suck.
The WVU in me, though.
Now, let's look.
Screw Pittsburgh.
Hey, can we look at the, let's look at the games coming up this week. Oh, no, these are games that are already played. Bowling Green beat Tulsa 34-7. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss beats Vanderbilt. That wasn't really an upset.
Which that was a last second kind of. I mean, Vanderbilt
it was a 3 point, 3.5 point
that.
Spread.
They controlled that game until the end.
How about Fresno State coming back and beating Rutgers with the extra point in overtime?
Well, Rutgers going for two and missing it. How stupid! How stupid is that?
Maybe they thought it was a preseason game.
Kick a field goal.
Maybe they thought it was a preseason game. Florida Atlantic gets crushed by Miami, 34-6. A little Florida deal there. Texas Tech beats SMU. Now, lately has had some decent teams. The Redskins have like five guys from SMU. Evidently, they get all the good guys there.
SMU is in the conference formerly known as the Big East, the AAU, which ECU will be in next year.
Yeah, now, are they playing in that right now?
Yeah.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We'll be back.
Oh, man. If only you guys sat in the studio.
Hey, let me tell
breaks,
you.
You'd
anyway,
learn
let's
so
go,
much more.
Hey, Roy, let's finish up these scores.
Sure.
Maryland, former University of Connecticut coach, who was under a lot of fire last year and the year before, 43-10, they crushed Florida International, who, by the way, doesn't have a bad football team usually. Mm-hmm. Evidently, this year, not so good. Cincinnati crushed.
What's his name? Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
He's a dark horse Heisman kid that you're going to want to pay attention to in Maryland.
If
Maryland has a good season, and by good season I mean they put up like
good
9
bowl
wins,
game,
you know,
9-3, something
and
like that.
And he does what he's capable of doing, look for this guy to get at least an invite to New York.
Let me tell you something. Things in the Washington D.C. metropolitan area for college football are so much better when Maryland plays well.
Yeah.
And the reason they are is there's really not a lot of college football right around us.
No, really
there's really, I mean, you go north, it's Towson. mean, yeah. You got to go to Towson to see another team, and then you go south, you got to go to Charlottesville, to the University of Virginia. So University of Maryland is pretty much it, Division One.
Yeah.
You know, in the D.C.
Everybody
area.
in the Northern Division, Northern Virginia, there, yeah. That's hard to say, and you know, area, so they're all techies.
Now, Florida International's Howard Schnellenberger's team, too. And Howard Schnellenberger, of course, coached, what's the running back for the Redskins, who I didn't get in my fantasy poll because my computer screwed me?
Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris went to Florida International, and he played there, and he rushed for 1,600-plus yards last year as a rookie in the NFL. If it wasn't for Robert Griffin III and all of these phenomenal quarterbacks last year, he might have been Rookie of the Year. 1,600? Yeah. There's been Rookie of the Years that rushed for 900
By
before.
The way, right. Speaking of the Redskins.
The Redskins.
And RG3. I'm all in for week one for a different quarterback, which we'll get into when we get into pros later.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
Mike McCartney's guy.
I'm all in for week one.
Mike McCartney's guy.
In New York.
Oh, my God. All right, here. NC State beats Louisiana Tech. Oh, there is a Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, it's La Tech.
Well, then it was something else.
We had hit. We had the La Tech.
You know what? They must
AD.
Have.
I think it was AD, or he was the
on the show?
SID. The SID.
On the
we
show?
Had him on our show as a guest host last this
on
week.
Your show. Mm-hmm. NC State wins big. They fired Jim O'Brien. Jim O'Brien, by the way, ended up as the offensive coordinator at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. They beat BYU 19-16 yesterday. Really, BYU. Two scores you're not used to seeing out of a Brigham Young / Virginia team, because they're normally heavy on offense, not so heavy on defense. Really big defensive game.
Good for Uva, though. They need to pull this
around. They need something. They're who's down there. They're not nears. They're who's. 23-17, Penn State beats Syracuse. For all you Syracuse people out there, I apologize. By the way, if you go to Deadspin, you know, the guy that – Drew Magry is, in my opinion – one of the best writers in the country. Read everything Deadspin this week that comes out about why your football team sucks. He does every team in the NFL, and he also does college teams.
Those, yeah.
And what Drew does is he made it sound like the San Francisco 49ers. There was five pages of stuff because they sucked. It was mostly about their fans and about, you know, their wine drinking and cheese eating and all that. But the thing of it is that you got to read it. It's called Deadspin.com. Go to it. He's phenomenal. Brigham Young, like we said, lose to Virginia. They'll never come east again. I guess we'll probably have to go out there and they'll crush us next year. Arkansas beats Louisiana Lafayette. I'm sorry. That's the team that the Duck Dynasty guys do. 34-14, Louisiana Lafayette loses to Arkansas. Austin Peay gets crushed by Tennessee, 45-0. Austin Peay must suck. Gardner Webb beats Furman. Who cares? 28-21. Both teams are terrible. Auburn beats Washington State. Let me tell you, Washington State traveled to Jordan-Hare Stadium and cover a pretty big point spread. And Auburn fans, looks like they didn't even score a touchdown in the second half. They all, you know, that's too tight. Missouri beats Murray State 58-14. That's the varsity against the JV there. And Montana beats an Appalachian State team that was supposed to be pretty good. Well, mm-hmm. Guess what? They went to Montana, and I don't know what, you know, maybe they played out in the middle on a top of a mountain or something. But they beat up Appalachian State 30-6. Let's go back to the NFL. And if you want to follow us, people, go to NFL.com. We're doing the NFC East right now. We're going to talk about let's talk about the Giants, because you got to talk about the Giants. If you talk about the NFC East, you know, they won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. I pick them. You know, I'm proud to say everybody thought I was on drugs. I might have thought I was on drugs. I'm on drugs. I actually get from my pharmacist, so you know it's not a big deal. But the New York Giants last year were very vanilla. Nothing really happened well. Good. They got into a funk. Never got out of it. Now, the preseason, in my opinion, okay, was. It was just...
It was ugly.
Well, you know what? Not only was it ugly, there was no enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Hakeem Nicks played with his shirt tail out every game he played in. Reuben Randle, who's listed here on the depth chart as a backup, but he'll probably get a lot of starting time, and he'll get a lot of snaps. Wasn't Reuben Randle from LSU? I mean, he's a good receiver. Pretty sure he is. They've got, you know, David Boss is hurt. Snee was hurt. They got a lot of guys. I mean, they're listing Will Beatty, Kevin Booth, David Buss, Chris Snead, David Deal as their starting offensive line. When all of those guys are healthy, they're pretty good. They really are.
Yeah.
They're listing Brandon Myers. You know, they lose a tight end. They get Brandon Myers as their starter now.
They lost a few people in the offseason on the defensive side of the ball.
Now, Brandon Myers was a free agent. They signed him. Victor Cruz has been in a walking boot for 3 weeks.
He needs
4 weeks.
If you're a New York Giants fan, you better hope that Victor Cruz comes back and he comes out flying, and you better hope that Hakeem Nicks has a season like he had the year that they won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, Andre Brown's out for 6 to 8 weeks, right? Isn't he out 6 to 8 weeks, or is he out for the season? He got hurt last week, and Andre Brown's a monster. I mean, he's good. He was the guy that was going to be the pounder. And David Wilson is not a pounder. David Wilson is kind of like a Tiki Barber, a little bigger than Tiki, but not much.
Yeah,
David
Brown.
Wilson is like, what, 203 pounds, maybe 198? David Wilson runs a 4.3, 4.40. David Wilson can make people miss. David Wilson isn't going to make anybody forget about the running backs they've had in New York for the last 5 years.
But yeah, Andre Brown breaks his leg out 4 to 6 weeks. Like
it's
saying.
A crack. It's just a tiny crack, he said. I said, well, it's a tiny crack, but it's still broken.
Tiny crack is when you hear about
not nearly as big as
leg,
that butt crack that his offensive lineman has.
It doesn't matter how big or small a crack is. You feel that in your leg. You know what I mean?
Hey, let's look at their defense for a second, because this is the part that's really ugly.
Yeah, well,
for the Giants.
Umeniora's gone, right?
Yeah, he is. He's starting somewhere else.
He's a Falcon now.
Yes, he is, and he's like their best defensive lineman. Justin Tuck, I guess Tuck's healthy. I'm pretty sure Linville Joseph is a decent tackle. Cullen Jenkins is okay. Jason Pierre-Paul, JPP is really the guy.
Yeah,
you know, when everybody is healthy on that defensive line, they can put pressure on a quarterback to make quick decisions. Mm-hmm. But they've always had one fault. They can't stop the run. They can come at you. They just can't. You know, once they're coming at you, you can trap by them. You can run sprint draws by them. Dan Connor is hurt. Keith Rivers, Spencer Paisinger. Who the hell is that? Mark Herz. I don't even know who Spencer Paisinger is. He's starting a weak side linebacker. At left cornerback, you got Corey Webster. You got Prince Amukamara.
They need him to have a big year.
Ryan
you need
Monday.
Prince Amukamara.
Entrell Roll's
and
hurt.
And Entrell Roll.
He's hurt. Yeah, Aaron Ross. I want to say Aaron Ross has been hurt. J-Ron Husley from Virginia Tech. He got hurt earlier in the year. They've had injuries left and right. They've got to get healthy to have any chance whatsoever. Their former kicker, I'm sitting here looking for a kicker. I don't even see one. But their former kicker has staph infection down in Tampa, and he's on the unable to perform list. He got staph infection along with a defensive tackle.
Josh Brown. Is
that their new
kicker?
Yeah, Josh Brown. Geez, that guy's been to more teams than the man in the moon. He was a Pittsburgh
kicker
for a while.
He's been on more teams than Paris Hilton.
Ooh,
where's the
drum
where
roll?
Is it?
We don't have it. Matt's looking for it right now. You know what? I'm going to say this. I got new. Hey,
get ready, man.
You don't laugh, but I took the Giants under for about a dime in Vegas last week. I like under. You know what the under was for the Giants?
Was it 9?
8.
Is it really?
I got it at 8. I took the under. That means 8 I push, 7 I don't push. It was 8.5 almost everywhere. They weren't 9. But you know who I got at 9 and took the under?
Cowboys?
The Redskins. No, I took
the
Cowboys.
You took the under and the
Redskins? I took the under for the Redskins.
Who wins this division then? The Cowboys? And they're going to have to win 10, 11 games?
I think if you win 9 games in this division, You probably win. If you win 10, you're definitely going to win. Because you know what? We don't know. The Giants, the Cowboys, and the Redskins are all kind of the same.
Well, yeah,
now, most NFL insiders now, it's very politically correct to say the Redskins are a very good team, but I don't know why they're saying that, because we're one hit away from being an average team.
The Cleveland Browns.
Listen, if Robert Griffin goes down, Robert Griffin goes down with another knee injury or anything, a broken rib, if he doesn't start, we're not nearly as good a team as we'd be with him.
I like Kirk Cousins as a Redskins fan. I am a Redskins fan.
Hey,
like Kirk Cousins.
I like him a lot.
But he is not RG3.
No, he's not. And you know why they kept? Look who they kept. They kept the kid from West Virginia, who I like.
White.
Who said that we would be better off with him in there than Rex? I did.
Yeah.
I said it all over Twitter this week. Everybody told me I was crazy.
But Rex makes the team as well. They keep
four. But you know what? I think they're going to deal Rex. I think that they might get they might get a sixth round draft choice.
I think
for Rex.
He's there because him and Kyle have a love.
They
go on dates every night.
Houston.
Roommates. Rex has run this offense for 5 years.
Well, he knows the offense
better
than anybody.
Yeah.
And you know what? In preseason, that's why he looks so good.
And nobody else on that quarterbacking roster has run it for more than one.
When he goes in the second half of a game in the preseason, he can pick teams apart, because not only does he know the offense well, he's playing against guys that are terrible.
He went to the Super Bowl about, you know, 6-7 years
ago. You know what? And I'm going to tell you, that was no small feat. You know, they beat a lot of good teams that year to get to that deluge in Miami. It rained so hard at that Super Bowl.
Peyton Manning
loves
Rex Grossman.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I like Rex too.
Peyton Manning is the only man in the country who still drafts Rex Grossman on his fantasy team just because he loves Rex
You know
Grossman.
What? I don't blame him. Hey, listen, if Peyton Manning likes you, okay. Hey, let's go to the Redskins. Let's talk about the Redskins real quick.
Let's do it.
We might as well. The Washington Redskins, since we're on the East and we won't be here much long, still no call, huh? Maybe I wrote 11:30. Anyway, it could have been me. Anyway, I'm sitting here looking. Not a lot of surprises on their 53 team. I'm sitting here looking. Let's see.
Keelan Williams was cut, but there are so many running backs in that camp that. And Keelan Williams will get picked up somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised to see him stay in the NFC East somewhere, because the NFC East teams know that guy because he was running over them last year.
All right, here is the strength of the Redskins right here. Trent Williams may be the best left tackle in football, they say. Corey Lichtensteiger sat out all of last year with an injury. He's back. He's great. Now he can't. Will Montgomery, a great center. He can play guard too. Chris Chester. A lot of people gave up on him, including the Baltimore Ravens. He's played great for us.
Yes.
Tyler Palumbus is a stud. Fred Davis, one of the best receiving tight ends, and he's learning how to block. And then you get to their receivers, which
don't forget to throw in Logan Paulson in there. He's a good
Logan Paulson is a great blocker, but he's turning into a great receiver.
Yeah.
Aldrick Robinson's a decent receiver. He's the guy that goes deep for them.
Yep.
When Robert Griffin III is healthy, he's phenomenal.
Glad you talked about the line though,
yeah.
Because this Redskins line is one of the best they've had in years.
Since the Hogs.
And 3 years ago.
Since the Hogs.
People were talking about how the Redskins offensive line was one of the worst in the league.
Well, you know what? What did we say all along? You're only as good as your offensive line. This is Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. News Talk 1230 WFS, Bruce Hall.
I got to have him on the show sometimes, Dennis. Dennis Green is one of the most colorful guys to ever run up and down the sidelines of the NFL.
You're right.
Is that a gas sound?
That's me playing the drums.
Oh, I thought Matt was having a gas attack. Anyway, hey, all right, listen, real quick. I say the Redskins win 8 games. What do you say?
10 games.
So Roy's homering down. He's taking them for 10 games. What'd you think about the Giants?
I think the Giants could win 9.
I think they're going to win 7. I think it's over. I think this is it. Yeah, quit doing that,
Sorry.
Roy. I keep looking everywhere.
I'm such a musician.
All right, let's do the Chicago Bears. We're in the North Division now. The Bears... It couldn't have been said better from somebody I was listening to. His name's Peter King. Peter King this morning on the radio coming in was being interviewed on somebody else's show about the Bears. And he knows a lot about the Bears. Evidently, he's in Chicago a lot. He drinks a lot. He's a fun guy, Peter King.
Drinking a lot means you know the Bears.
You know the Bears.
Those two
absolutely. Dicka. So here's the deal. He was absolutely correct. The offensive line is what's got to perform. So they protect Jay Cutler because as Jay Cutler goes, so go the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you could say that about most teams, but you can really say that about the Bears. And I'm looking at their offensive line. I don't think they're going to win the North. I see the Bears actually winning 7 games also this year. I don't see them even winning 8 games because I think there's two, possibly even a third team. The more I look at Detroit, the more I like them, even though I hate their coach. And I'm not a big fan of what they're doing up there. But I got to pull for them now because I got Megatron on my daggone fantasy league team. So I'm praying to God he gets more than one thing. I got the Bears winning 7 games. What do you say, Roy?
I say the Bears. I like the Bears a little more than you do. I think they're a 9-win team. Well, I think they'll compete for a wild card spot, and they might get it. Because I think another team in this division is going to have a down year.
Yeah, here's who I think is going to have the down year, and nobody agrees with me because Peter King said he thinks the Packers are going to be in the Super Bowl. I think the Packers are going to win 9 games this year, max.
I like the Packers. I think the Packers win this division.
I don't see it, but let's do this. Let's go to the team, and let's go to their depth chart. Their depth chart is... Let's look at the offense first. Jordy Nelson, when he's healthy, is solid. Their offensive line is their problem. Josh Sitton is always hurt. Evan Dietrich Smith, we call him the hyphen, he's always hurt. I don't even know David Bakhtiari. I don't even want to know him. TJ Lang's decent. Marshall Newhouse is a decent tackle. Jermichael Finley can be a stud and he can disappear. Both. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
He's either there or he's not. Randall Cobb may be their best receiver. I love that kid. But he's been hurt. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Jordy Nelson is their best receiver.
Well, you like Jordy. I like Jordy too, but he's
Jordy Nelson.
But he's starting to get hurt all the time. And I'll tell you why he gets hurt. He's a tough guy. And he goes out there and he'll take a hit. James Starks is their starting running back, but Eddie Lacy is going to do a good job up there. Eddie Lacy can run the football.
And he's getting a shot to do so.
Yes, he is. You got Kuhn. John Kuhn is the fullback. He carries the ball, once or twice a game, but he blocks every play. You know, the Packers offense is not the problem. Let me go to their problem right here. Their defense. Ryan Pickett, he weighs 700 pounds, okay? He can move pretty good for a 700-pounder. He doesn't weigh 700. He weighs like 380, 370. Dayton Jones, left defensive end, average. B.J. Raji. Raji disappeared last year. After he did those damn commercials on the insurance commercials, he disappeared.
Whatever, yeah.
Hey, Raji, dance for me, Raji. You know, A.J. Hawk is average, but they just redid his contract. Brad Jones, not a very good linebacker. Clay Matthews, when he's healthy, he's a monster. When he's not healthy, Roy, where is he? On the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to help you there. Tremont Williams, decent corner. Sam Shields, maybe their best guy. Morgan Burnett leaves a lot to be desired. None of these guys tackle, Roy. None of them. I like overs with this team, just like I like overs with Philadelphia. If Philadelphia plays the Packers, you could see a 100-point game. Well, let's say 80 points. But I don't like the Packers. I have them winning 9 games max this year. What do you say?
I think the Packers are – you're talking about the Packers. I think they're a 10, maybe 11-win team. I think that they play offense far better than anyone in this division, and I think that this entire division is becoming more and more set up as an offensive division. Yeah. There's only one real team to me who plays real defense in this division, and it's the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I agree. Mason Crosby, by the way, is their kicker. He sucks, by the way. He's terrible. And they kept him. Now, he's on a short leash is what I'm told up there. And there are kickers everywhere. So if you're a kicker, look, the Redskins, they got rid of Graham Gano and got a guy that just doesn't miss much anymore. Guy's phenomenal.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Kai Forbath.
Let's do this. Let's go. Let's go right away back to, hold on, where am I? NFL.com. And we're going to talk about the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings, in my opinion, are maybe one of the most underrated teams in the league. If they keep Adrian Peterson healthy, and I say they, it's really not up to them because their offensive line is going to do a good job. They've got everybody back, basically, on that offensive line. And as far as I know, they're all healthy. I haven't seen them that much this preseason. Have you had a chance to see him much, Roy?
The Minnesota Vikings?
I watch all of the
replays.
I'm
not as high on the Minnesota Vikings as
well. Let me just tell you, here's what they got. They got Adrian Peterson, but they have Christian Ponder and Matt Castle. So we're praying nothing happens to Christian Ponder. He's not all that great anyway. AP is the best running back in football.
He is.
Zach Lyon is a good fullback.
And they got Greg Jennings.
He's got Jerome Felton backing him up.
They got Greg Jennings.
Yeah, they do. They got Jerome Simpson, too, the guy that had all the pot sent to him at his house when he was with Cincinnati, and he does flips over people.
They lose Percy Harvin.
Yeah,
they gain Greg Jennings.
Yeah, you know who else they've got who's underrated? Kyle Rudolph, tight end. Kyle Rudolph's a monster, and he can run after he catches the ball. Matt Khalil did a good job as a rookie last year. Charlie Johnson at left guard. John Sullivan at center. Fusco and Lodeholt. Dude, they can. That's a great running team. They're a great running team. Toby Gerhart, the backup running back from Stanford, is a good running back. Cordell Patterson from the University of Tennessee isn't even in the starting lineup. They'll use him in the slot. They'll use him in four receiver formations. I love these guys. I got them winning 10 games. I have them better than the Packers.
I think that this team...
You don't like me, do you, Roy?
They're so built around running the football and playing defense, which is not a bad way to be. But I just think that they don't have enough firepower to keep up with the Packers or the Bears or maybe even the Lions if they catch them on a day that their offense is clicking. Because if this team gets down 10, 14, 17 points, there is no way that they're coming back from anything because they're a run-first football team.
Well, let me just tell you, let's look at their defense real quick because their defensive line, a lot of people don't know these guys, but Kevin Williams is a stud. Sharif Floyd, who was a first-round draft pick, backs him up. Jared Allen is a monster. He'll get 15 sacks this year. Chad Greenway is the S linebacker, strong side linebacker. He's good. Aaron Henderson from the University of Maryland is good. Marvin Mitchell is good. But you look at their backs. They're all new names except Chris Cook, Harrison Smith, Jamarcus Sanford, Josh Robinson. That's where they're going to be tested this year.
They rely so much on their defensive line to get pressure.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back here on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Hey,
Bruce
Roy,
Hall's Second Opinion.
Roy, we're both all in.
Yeah.
We're taking the Jets. And you know what? It's the only week that I'm really going to beg, pray they win for you. for West Virginia alum and for Geno Smith and anybody that knows that poor kid.
I have my Jets t-shirt on
today. He does. He does.
And that's not even a lie. I'll take a picture of it and I'll post it on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram, Sportsman.
Hey, you know what? Let's talk. Let's do this. We're going to breeze through the rest of the NFC East. The Atlanta Falcons are so overrated. I'm sorry.
I love them.
Yeah, well, you love
them. I'm buying into the hype.
I got them winning 9 games this year.
I think they're a 10-11
Carolina 19. Panthers are improved, but they're not improved enough, and one of their top running backs is out for the year.
I think they're an 8-18 team.
Yeah, I think. I have them at 7-9.
Yeah, 7-9.
I got the Saints. I got the Saints, excuse me, at 9-7.
Me too.
Just because their defense will be improved, and guess who's back? Sean Payton, head coach. So they're going to be fine. Tampa sucks. They're terrible. They're giving up on everybody.
I think, I agree. I think the New Orleans Saints are a 9, maybe 10-win team, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a whole bunch of nobodies down there in Tampa. So I agree with you completely about the NFC South. I think, although I like Atlanta on top. I think Atlanta takes the division, and I think New Orleans is second place, followed by Carolina and Tampa Bay bringing up the rear. And out west in the NFC West, we both agree that it's a two-team race between the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. And I think the 49ers are the real team in this division, and the Seattle Seahawks last year, I think their quarterback was. He had a great season. Russell Wilson had a great season. I think if there is going to be a guy who does have the sophomore slump, I think Russell Wilson is that guy. I love Russell Wilson. I want him to succeed. I want him to do well. I want the Seahawks to be contenders, although as a Redskins fan, I'm not very – I don't like them very much. But I think that this is the 49ers division, and I've made it no secret that I have the San Francisco 49ers going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. So I think that San Francisco wins this division. Seattle is a close second.
Yeah, they're the wild card for sure.
And the rest of them, the Rams, I think, are a season or two away. Because I see the Rams overtaking the Seattle Seahawks here in a year or two. I really think that what they're putting together could be better than what the Seattle Seahawks
are. All right, we have a caller. Manish, is this you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm doing great. We've got Manish Mehta. On the line, beat writer for the New York Jets. Manish, who do you write for? Which paper are you with?
New York Daily News.
That's right. You're an NYDN guy. Unfortunately, where I go before our show, they never have the Daily News. They've always got the daggone Post, and it's like reading. It's not even like reading news. It's like reading the Inquirer sometimes.
I'm not familiar with that publication.
I love that. Hey, Manish, I follow you on Twitter. Tell everybody what your Twitter handle is.
It's M. Mehta, first initial, last name, NYDN.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I'll be 60 my next birthday. I've been around football my whole life. I've been handicapping the NFL since the late 70s. And you're one of the best guys I've ever read. You do a great job. You're not scared of anybody. I think you and I both feel about the same way about Rex and about the Jets. But I got to tell you, I'm looking at this game next week. I just wish they had a quarterback that was healthy. We could win it. Tell me about the Jets and what you see happening right now with them trimming down to 53. Or did they trim to 50?
No, they trimmed to 53. They're like every other team in the league. The 53 guys on the roster now, in all likelihood, will not be the 53 that will be at MetLife Stadium for Week 1 against Tampa Bay. They're going to put in some claims, in all likelihood, for players who were waived from other teams. And so you'll probably see a little bit more juggling. But for the most part, the core of the team is set. And obviously the big question mark is the quarterback position. Mark Sanchez is not healthy. My understanding is that pretty much all the key decision makers in the organization at this point are on board with Geno Smith. And you would have to assume that if Geno Smith isn't absolutely brutal in the early part of the season, that he would at this point be the starter for the remainder of the season. It doesn't make much sense to go back to Mark Sanchez. Personally, I thought if Sanchez were healthy, the smart move would be to start Sanchez and at some point this season give Geno Smith an opportunity, because the Jets are going to have to evaluate Geno to find out what they got in him. And if he is a franchise quarterback, they don't have to draft one next year. If he struggles and it doesn't look like he could be part of their future, then I think the Jets would go after a Teddy Bridgewater or somebody like that in the draft next year.
I'm sitting here looking at the guys they kept. Defensively, they're not bad. You know, their linebacking core is okay. You know, defensive line, Sheldon Richardson worked out okay last year, didn't he? Did they ever get, I mean, did he make that switch to the 4-3 pretty well?
Well, Quinton Coples is the guy who was the first-round draft pick last year that they wanted to move out to outside linebacker. He obviously suffered a fractured ankle, and he's out indefinitely. He'll probably miss 3 or 4 weeks. Sheldon Richardson, of course, is their number 13 overall pick, the guy they got from Tampa Bay in the Darrell Revis trade. So Richardson, at least thus far, has looked pretty good, and I think they're going to need him because without Coples, right now you're looking at Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson probably being the anchors to a young and fairly deep defensive line.
Now D. Milliner, he had some problems during the preseason, didn't he, with coverages and stuff. He's the kid they drafted out of Alabama, right?
Yeah, look, he's got a pedigree, obviously a lot of success in the SEC, and the big knock on him or the big question mark is whether he could stay healthy, because even though he didn't miss time at Alabama, he was nicked up a lot. He had that off-season shoulder surgery that kept him out of OTAs and mini camp. And you're right. Look, I thought he had some nice plays in the first game against the Detroit. He wasn't nearly aggressive enough in Jacksonville in the second preseason game. Rex called him out after that game. He did not play the third preseason game or this past game because he was dealing with a calf injury. I think that's something to keep an eye on because, again, durability and health has been a concern for him in college. And right now, you don't know if you're going to have him at 100%. And that would be a big loss because the Jets certainly need him. If he does not play or is limited in some fashion, they're going to move Kyle Wolfen back outside. But you remember, the cornerbacks used to be the strength of the Jets defense under Rex Ryan. And right now, all you got Antonio Cromartie you can rely on, but not much else there.
Yeah, Dewan Landry's playing one of the safety positions. He can play a little bit, but he's bounced around lately. Let me ask you this, Manish. What did you make of the Greg McElroy? I mean, how does Greg McElroy get released? I mean, who's going to help Geno out? I mean, it's not going to be Sanchez, or is he?
Well, look, I thought it was a curious move, and I understand the potential that Matt Sims has. It's impossible to ignore. I would have kept Matt Sims. Unfortunately, I think the ideal situation would have been to waive Matt Sims and then claim him and after he cleared waivers to go on the practice squad. And I think, 3 weeks ago, that would have been a viable option. But Sims had played well enough, I think, in these last two preseason games that it's too much of a risk for the Jets to take. He probably would have been claimed by another team if they cut him and put him through the waiver process. So I do understand them keeping Matt Sims. I don't understand them not keeping McElroy unless his knee injury is more severe than has been let on, because they did ultimately keep four quarterbacks. We'll see how long that shakes out. But Graham Harrell, who they recently signed, the kid who was cut from Green Bay about a week or so ago, remains on the team. So they do have four quarterbacks. I think that this is a season in which the Jets have to foster an optimum environment for Geno Smith. They need to make the environment around Geno Smith as best as they possibly can to help him, to cultivate him, to find out again if he's a franchise quarterback. And from everything that I've heard from people in the organization, including Greg McElroy and Geno Smith himself, McElroy has been a tremendous influence on Geno, helping him. As Geno told me, just another coach out there, somebody he can bounce ideas off of, somebody he can ask questions to. And I know they've got coaches for that. I know Marty Morningwig and David Lee, the quarterback's coach, are there. But it's different when you have a veteran mentor there for you. And you're not going to say that Greg McElroy is ever going to be a number one quarterback in this league. I don't think he's going to. But his value in terms of having an intangible impact and having an influence on Geno Smith, I think, was really valuable, underappreciated, and that's why I think that he should have stayed. And look, he's also a guy who started last year and came in relief to Sanchez and won a game. Not a great player by any stretch of the imagination, but a viable player. And again, the impact that he would have on the rookie, I think, was extremely valuable. And I think that's why the Jets made a mistake there.
Now, Manish, hi, it's Roy here. One of the big knocks on Geno Smith and West Virginia really as a whole last season was that they lacked leadership, that there was no real big voices in the locker room, and that's kind of how the West Virginia team fell apart. Now, Geno Smith at this next level is taking over a Jets team that doesn't really have any true playmakers on it, and everyone's kind of looking at him, as you just said, to be the franchise quarterback. Has he turned the page, and has he become more vocal in this Jets locker room than he was at West Virginia, or is he still that same ice in the veins kind of laid-back guy?
Well, Roy, I think you got to be careful, because I know the story you're referring to with the several West Virginia players saying that there was a lack of leadership down the stretch when their season kind of fell apart. But you also have to keep in mind that Dana Holgorsen, their head coach, came out recently and said that Eno was one of the few leaders that the West Virginia team actually had. So I wasn't down there in West Virginia. I haven't spoken to people in that locker room. It's hard for me to definitively say one way or another. You can just take it at face value when the head coach comes out and says that Geno was not an issue in terms of leadership and how he's fitting in with this team. You know, he gets more and more comfortable as the days and the weeks go on. Obviously, if he becomes the starting quarterback, as suspected against Tampa Bay, that will only add to that. But he's got a lot to learn, and the Jets are fully aware of his potential, his upside. They're also fully aware of some of the things that he can't do now because he did not come from a pro-style system in college. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some bumps and bruises. You know, there's going to be a learning curve, but I think the Jets are excited that because they don't have those dynamic offensive weapons at the receiver position, at the tight end position, running back, all those pieces around the quarterback aren't dynamic. So they believe that a healthy Geno Smith can do more for their offense than Mark Sanchez. He offers more in their minds, and I think they're confident that Marty Morningwig can tailor game plans week to week to Geno's strong suit and not get him overwhelmed. So even though he's got a lot of learning to do, as we all saw in that first half against the Giants with the three turnovers, I think they're excited that if he's healthy, that he can help them do some things that perhaps Mark Sanchez can't do.
Yeah, I actually went to WVU, and so I actually cover the Mountaineers. And last year, and I know that you're saying he didn't come from a pro-style offense, and he played in two different systems at WVU, but I was just wondering that if he had stepped up at all. And another guy you mentioned was Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, with the surrounding cast that Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez, for that matter, has in New York, is Teddy Bridgewater a real thought in the Jets organization?
Well, I don't think he's going to be a thought until they make a full evaluation of what Geno Smith is. And, of course, you can't do that until you see Geno Smith playing real games and give him a fair enough sample size to show what he can do. But they're going to have to gauge what they see with, as you said, what's around him. And I don't think Sanchez or Geno is going to light it up because of the lack of playmakers. So that's something to keep in mind. That's going to ultimately be up to the general manager, John Idzik, and his front office team to determine, if they've seen enough out of Geno in January after the season is over to make a call on whether they should feel confident moving forward with him in 2014 or, again, look elsewhere and maybe take a Teddy Bridgewater. I bring up this example a lot because I think it's a pretty solid analogy. A few years ago in the second round, Carolina drafted Jimmy Clausen. They gave him, I think he started somewhere between 8 to 10 games. He really did not look at all. I think he had three times as many interceptions as he did touchdowns. At that point, they jumped ship. They had the number one overall pick the following year. They took Cam Newton, and obviously the rest is history. So I think that the Jets will follow a similar blueprint.
Hey, Manish, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Listen, I got one more question before we're going to have to take a break. John Idzik, I followed him coming to New York, and, Tannenbaum actually signed up with a buddy of mine in his agency. So I know Tannenbaum a little bit. Is Idzik doing a pretty good job, do you think? And are he and Rex going to be pretty much deciding on who starts together like it was kind of everybody was led to believe, or is it this still Rex's team?
Well, look, when you look at John Idzik's background, it's really not that much different than Mike Tannenbaum. I know that they have tried to portray an image of him as a football man. His father, of course, was a defensive assistant with the Jets, and that doesn't make John Idzik a football man. That makes his father a football man. But if you look at what he did in Seattle, what he did in Arizona, what he did in Tampa Bay, he dabbled in personnel, but his forte was negotiations and contracts. And over the past 6 months, or I should say the last 6 months or so of his time in Seattle, the general manager, John Schneider, had Idzik going out a little bit more and doing a little bit more scouting. But don't fool yourself here. This guy is not a career scout. His background is very similar to Mike Tannenbaum, slightly different, but for the most part, the same deal. And as far as your question, and how has he done to this point? Look, there haven't been egregious financial mistakes because he didn't have that much money to deal with. So it's not like he signed a player for a $20 million deal and that player hasn't produced. But if you look at what he has done, he has had some serious missteps. David Garrard, terrible decision.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I'm an East Carolina guy. Yeah.
Yeah, look, the guy hadn't played a regular season game in 2 years. He obviously was dealing with health issues. It wasn't a surprise when a couple months after the Jets signed him, he retired. They never replaced him with a veteran quarterback, and that brings us back to that original discussion about why Greg McElroy was so important to Geno. I think Garrard could have filled that role for Geno, but he's not on the team. So that's a mistake. The first big free agent signing that they had, Mike Goodson. Goodson promptly got some legal issues afterwards. He's had some personal issues, missed all of training camp. Now he's suspended by the league for 4 games. That was not a good signing. I thought Chris Ivory was a solid move at the time, but Chris Ivory hasn't done much in training camp and in preseason because of a hamstring issue. The jury's still out on that. So they also brought in Steven Peterman, inside interior offensive lineman. They cut him. Right. Antonio Gray for depth on defensive line. They cut him. So I think he's made some critical mistakes. Because Rex Ryan does need players this year if he's going to survive. You didn't get those players from the GM. I do understand the conflicting interests that both guys have. In fairness to John Idzik, he's building a team. It's going to be a 2 to 3 year process. However, Rex needs some short-term success here, where he's not going to be beyond. So it's impossible to think that those guys are in line, even though Rex Ryan repeatedly says publicly that he and Idzik are on the same page. Inherent in their positions is a difference of opinion because, again, Rex Ryan, short-term goal. John Idzik, more of a broader view.
Yeah, you know what, Manish, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
We've got
to take a break here real quick. Manish Mehta with the New York Daily News and the best beat writer the New York Jets have anywhere near their locker room. Manish, thanks so much for coming on. We're going to have you on again soon, hopefully. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, we're back. We're back. I'm looking at Roy. That was great of Manish. I didn't think he was going to be able to come on until next week, and he was able to find a few minutes to talk about the Jets. Let me tell you something. Not an easy beat to cover the New York Jets. It's always entertaining, but it's also, you know, when you tell the truth about a floundering franchise, you know, you're not going to be welcomed a lot. And the thing I really appreciate about Manish when he writes his stories on the Jets is he doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't lay it on, but he tells the truth. And that's all you can ask for with a beat writer, in my opinion. Manish, thank you so much for coming on. We can try to have him on a regular basis. You know, I like their chances going into Tampa Bay. The Redskins went down there in a game that didn't matter, right? And they won 30-12. And to be honest with you, what do we say? What's the guy? Shiano! He's the idiot that, you know, in victory formation tells his defensive lineman to hit the offensive lineman as hard as they can.
Dive with their ankles, cause an injury.
In submarine. So if the guy gets fired after 1 game, a loss to the Jets, I wouldn't be disappointed, would you?
No, you want to
pick on him.
I like what he's done there, bringing in with... Eric LeGrand, you know, signing him to like a no-pay contract so he could wear an NFL jersey. That was nice. And, you know, how he's, you know, trying to bring Tampa Bay into a college environment, you know. But as an NFL coach, no. He hasn't done anything to impress me, and he hasn't turned the team around whatsoever. But I like morally, I guess, what he's done with his players. How they kind of rallied around him in the beginning, the Eric LeGrand thing again. But no, I mean he's not the answer in Tampa Bay.
All right, let's real quick. I had to care. Well, we're talking right now about the West. Arizona. I think Arizona is going to win 5 games. What do you think, Roy? Arizona Cardinals. Real quick, now
yeah,
we're going through it.
I'll go five games.
All right, I got the Rams winning eight. I got them going 8-8.
Me too.
I got San Francisco going 12-4.
Yep.
I got Seattle going 12-4.
No, see, I have the Seattle going like 9 or 10.
I actually have them winning the Super Bowl.
I have San Francisco wins.
See, I had them winning the Super Bowl last year. I think they're not as good a team this year. Let's go to the AFC East. We just talked about the Jets for 15 minutes. I think they win this first game in Tampa. No, they don't. They're going to get beat. It's Geno's first game. Yeah, they're going to lose. I have the Jets winning three games and maybe getting the first or second pick in the draft next year.
Wow. Wow. I don't really know what to say to that.
I wrote an article. I didn't write an article or a blog, but I tweeted it and texted it so much this week. I said that the New England Patriots could win six games and win the division by beating Buffalo, the Jets,
and Miami
twice.
I mean, Buffalo's terrible. The Jets is to be seen.
Buffalo winning three games.
I wouldn't argue that. I think the Buffalo Bills are last place in this division.
Miami wins five games.
See,
they're not that good.
Like to think Miami will do a little better than that. But I agree. I mean, the New England Patriots have no competition.
You have to read Drew Maggery's Deadspin, Why I Hate the Miami Dolphins, and you would think they're going to win one game. It's incredible. They have the worst general manager in the league. Their coach is like a vanilla. He's like North Turner, evidently. What do they call him? Herman Milktoast. John Riggins used to call North Turner Herman Milktoast. Now, I have New England winning this division in November. In the next division, the best division, in my opinion, in football, the Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals.
This is your best division?
I have Cleveland winning six games this year, and I have the Bengals winning 10. I have the Steelers winning 9. And I have Houston winning 10. And I have Cincinnati winning the division. Houston's a wild card.
Houston is in the South.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just mixed in.
I left Cleveland out. I have Cleveland winning six games. So I have Steelers winning 8. I have I've got the Ravens winning 11 games. That's right.
What?
I have them winning the division. No, I have them winning the division. I have
Stop
Cincinnati
that.
Winning 10. Who's going to win the division? Cincinnati, Roy?
Yes.
All right, who's going to be second? Is Baltimore going to be a wild card?
No.
Are the Steelers going to be a wild card?
No.
Okay, let's go.
I think the Steelers and Ravens both miss the playoffs, and the Bengals get in.
All right, let's go to the South. The more I see them and the more I look at their personnel, the more I like the Indianapolis Colts. I have the Colts winning 10 games.
I think the Colts could win 9 games. I love Houston. Houston is my pick out of the AFC.
You have them winning the Super Bowl.
I have them going to the Super Bowl.
Well, there's no way they're going to go to the Super Bowl because they still have Gary Kubiak as their coach. I have the Jacksonville Jaguars winning 4 games, but they win them all in the second half of the season because they have a good defense, and they're going to get better.
I think that the Houston Texans win the division. Indianapolis follows up. Tennessee might get 6 wins, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are the worst team, and they're picking number 1 overall in the 2014 draft.
Hey, by the way, the Tennessee Titans, I watched them twice last week on replays. They're pretty good. They're not bad. They play very well right now. And let's go to the West, and this is where a lot of people think that one of the people that are going to be in the Super Bowl. Everybody's on the Denver Broncos. The NFL's on the Denver Broncos. The Manning family's on the Denver Broncos. Everybody that loves TV is on the Denver Broncos. I don't think the Denver Broncos are going to be. I think they're going to get to the playoffs with an 11-5 record as the West Division winners. But I think they're going to lose either their first or second game. I have Kansas City going 10-6.
I know you do.
And I have them as my wild card. And they are also my big play. It's Alex Smith, dude. I love the guy.
So who's your second wild card? Kansas City and Indianapolis?
No. Kansas City and Cincinnati.
So you have Cincinnati.
Yeah, I've got Baltimore winning.
Yes, I do. Did you see what Carolina did to Baltimore in the preseason?
I don't care about that. It was a preseason game.
Baltimore
It was
sucks.
A preseason game.
I have front row tickets to a terrible football team.
By the way, San Diego sucks.
San Diego does suck.
They're bad.
They suck.
They're going to win five, maybe six games.
The Oakland Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars will fight it out to see who is the worst possible football team in the NFL.
No, they there's no way. There's suck. No way anybody's any better than Buffalo or the Jets.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Is anybody? Do you think the Jets are going to win four games?
The Jacksonville Jaguars are so bad. They hired Nike to make their uniforms look as bad as they play.
They have one of the best coaches in football. I talked to You know who I got a media. You know who I got media credentials for in Jacksonville? The Jaguars. They're the only team I could go online and get my credentials. It was great. I'm going
down there
to see.
They're paying people to cover them. Hey, come on.
Hey, shut up.
Come on in, Bruce.
Shut up. Tebow.
Where do you live? You don't even live in Florida?
Well, I've heard Tim Tebow.
Season creds.
I've heard Tim Tebow is going to become a Muslim, and their coach is going to take him. Their coach. Their owner.
They got Chad Henne.
Chad Henne's terrible.
I mean,
he's terrible. Hey, you know who they need? Rex.
You know who Maurice Jones-Drew is on a contract year.
Look at me, Roy. Look at my eyes. Rex Grossman needs to be in Jacksonville. He's from the University of Florida.
Well, so is Tebow.
But he's not going to go there. Rex can throw. Rex could be their quarterback.
Nobody's going to Jacksonville, and they are going to fall off the face of the earth or be sold to Vegas.
I think Jacksonville gives them...
Sell them to Vegas.
A sixth-round draft choice for Rex, and Shanny's going
to
be so proud.
Jacksonville needs to relocate to either L.A. or Vegas. They suck, and the city is a joke.
Yeah, not just the team. The entire city.
Their city is not
a
joke.
Move.
Their city is not a joke. You've never been there.
I have been there.
When?
My grandma
I was there
lived,
for eight.
My grandma, all right? She lived Mama. In Florida. Mama lived in Florida. I grew up a Jacksonville
When was the last time you were there?
I grew up a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. Okay?
When was the last?
Natron Means,
Mark
Grinnell.
I got a question. When was the last time you were
there? Keith Cardell.
You don't play golf, obviously. When was the last time you were there?
I don't play golf.
Well, why wouldn't you like
Bruce,
it in Jacksonville?
I beat you in golf.
Let's
remember?
Beat me tomorrow.
Do you remember when that happened?
Beat me tomorrow. Let's play tomorrow.
I don't play golf.
By the way, I'm playing golf Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I'm not playing tomorrow. You want to play tomorrow?
Let's play tomorrow. I got to ask my wife for a permission slip.
Oh, my God. You're 21 or something, and you're asking for permission.
I have to ask. She has to sign
a permission
slip.
I'll write you a note.
I would love to play.
Hey, we're not done, are we?
No,
good. Thank
not.
God.
No, we're not.
Hey, listen. All right, let's talk about who's in the playoffs. Let's go down.
What?
Now? For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened.
Threatened!
Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm with Roy Edwards.
Hey.
And I'm also with Matt Lynch. And I can't breathe.
But not his voice. His voice decided to stay in Virginia.
You know, it's just
relaxing and resting.
Your voice is about as bad as your golf game.
I got news for you, dude.
Boom! Bring us to break.
I shot 80 in tennis shoes a month ago. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we let him off the hook. And we let him off the hook.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230 WFAS.
And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Now, Bruce,
what?
During the break, you said something that I was meaning to bring up earlier in the show, and that's you said...
Don't you tell everybody I'm gay.
You said, oh, wait!
Okay, never mind.
We have to talk about baseball. You said, oh, no, we have to talk about baseball.
Yeah, we got to do baseball.
It has now that that football's back, because the NFL's not back. The NFL's back next week, okay? But football is back, and I wrote an article.
That's all it matters.
I wrote an article.
Hey, we did two segments on NCAA football.
I wrote.
You know what?
Yeah,
I love NCAA
it.
Football.
I love it. I wrote an article for Yahoo Sports and Sports.
How many tweets
on
did I send
football?
You yesterday? Just talking crap
That's
about
I mean.
Your stupid West Virginia Mountaineers.
Almost.
They almost lost to Mary yesterday, but Mary brought William at the last minute, and they made a good game.
But
of
my question to you is,
yeah.
Have we forgot about baseball?
No, absolutely not.
As a country, as a sports fan,
as a country, we'll care about the last two games of the World Series.
No,
everybody,
no.
Like,
Matt, you're
beginning.
Talking about an idiot atheist that doesn't like baseball. Hey, listen, here we go.
He got you.
Everybody
there.
Thinks I'm kidding about
got
that.
Got you
by
there.
The way. All right, here we go.
I need a whip.
Let's let's look at the standings real quick. Boston is four games out in front of Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is right on the line for the wild card. The New York Yankees are only four games back of the wild card. Congratulations, Yankees. You're making it interesting.
No,
Baltimore, who, by the way, I picked, 4.5 games back. Toronto sucks. Detroit is running away with it because Cleveland sucks. They're 8.5 games out in front.
Cleveland does suck.
Kansas City, Minnesota, Chicago all suck. Texas and Oakland are fighting it out in the West, although Texas the last week has played better than Oakland, but Oakland won last night. Mm-hmm. They won the night
They're
before.
Both playoff teams.
The Angels suck. Seattle sucks. Houston sucks. In the National League, Atlanta is crushing everybody else.
Yeah.
And by the way, your New York Mets are 10 games under 500, but they've been as many as 18 games under 500 3 months ago. So they've been playing well the last 3 months.
Won three straight. They just took a series from the
Nationals. By the
way,
my Washington Nationals suck. Philadelphia, Miami. Well, they suck right now. Philadelphia, Miami, they really suck. And by the way, Philly, what a low down.
What a joke of a city you are, Philadelphia.
But what a low class move to fire Charlie Manuel, who set records managing in Philly in the middle of the season. They fired Charlie.
The city is a joke.
It is a joke.
I hate Philly. I stand Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is the armpit of Philadelphia.
They are. New Jersey, you're off the hook. Philadelphia,
oh, New Jersey's been
the
off the
armpit
hook.
Of America.
Hey, New Jersey's been off the hook. They're in our listening area. You can't hear our show in Philly unless you have a computer.
If Philadelphia was in our listening area, I still hate Philadelphia.
Roy, nobody has a computer in Philadelphia. They'd have to have a job
it's
to have a computer.
Disgusting. Disgusting city.
All right,
why
here
do
we
you
go.
Think they moved hey, the, nation,
stop,
the nation's
stop.
Capital
Roy,
out of Philadelphia?
Roy, stop. We only have one
because
segment
it
left.
Sucks.
Pittsburgh and St. Louis are fighting it out along with Cincinnati, who, by the way, I picked to win the National League at 8-1 odds in Vegas. Cincinnati is right now has the last spot in the wild card. Milwaukee, Chicago both suck. Los Angeles. Dodgers, you know, after going 40-8 and setting a record that goes back to the year 1900, they're running away with it. Arizona, Colorado, San Diego, San Francisco, they suck. And by the way, the reason I'm all over football, my Giants aren't playing.
If the Liberty Bell was in any other city, it wouldn't have cracked because Philadelphia sucks
so much. Yeah.
That they broke the Liberty Bell.
Okay. And not only that, Andy Reid even left. I mean, if Andy Reid loves Philly cheesesteaks. He told me that once. He lives for Pats. Okay? Lives. Look at him. He weighs 800 pounds. He left and moved to Kansas City. By the way, has the best barbecue beef in the country. Andy's lost 50 pounds, people, and he hasn't had. He's done it the old-fashioned way. He's dieting.
Philadelphia originally wanted to be the best cheeseburger in the United States,
Matthew,
but they screwed that up so bad that they had to chop the meat up into cheesesteaks, and that's the only reason why they're any good at cheesesteaks.
Right. But since we love baseball still, okay, we're gonna give you the games tomorrow. You got Chen with Baltimore at Andy Pettitte. Pettitte has been on fire in his last three starts, and this is a decent odds. I want to say it's -160, -170. I'm taking the New York Yankees to kick the crap out of my favorite Baltimore Orioles today. How about you?
I got the O's.
Well, the hell with you then.
That's all.
Well, by the way, I beat you 2-0 last weekend.
I know.
Kansas City, Toronto, I'm passing. Both teams suck.
They both suck.
Yeah.
But not as bad as Philadelphia.
Cleveland is at Detroit. I told everybody a month ago Verlander was done. Nobody believed me. His ERA last three starts, he's 0-2 with a 5 ERA. I am not taking either team. Play the over in the Cleveland-Detroit game. Mm-hmm. It's going over. Chicago, and the over, by the way, could be 9, and it's going to go over. It's not going to be 9. It'll be 8.5. Chicago White Sox are at Boston. That's too big a number. I'm not going to take the game.
I got Boston.
I'm passing. Well, they're probably going to win. Seattle's at Houston. Iwakuma is -142. Put your house on the Seattle Mariners. Your house. I'm not talking about a little house. I'm talking about not a playhouse, not a dollhouse, not a doghouse. Put your
house. Not a house in Philadelphia because we all know the housing market there sucks.
Seattle, and you got Iwakuma, and he's going to win that game. Minnesota's at Texas. Pass. Even though Texas is going to win, but they're -200. Tampa Bay's at Oakland.
Yep.
You know, Tampa Bay doesn't even know who they're starting.
Take, I like Oakland.
Take Oakland.
I see Wright here for Tampa Bay.
Griffin's starting for Oakland, but Griffin hasn't been that strong. You know what? I'm passing on the game.
I'll take the A's.
I'm passing. People, I'm the handicapper, not Roy. St. Louis.
I am a handicapper.
St. Louis is at Pittsburgh. St. Louis has got Kelly. He's been on fire. He's 3-0 with a 1.5 ERA. Pittsburgh, I'm passing. It's too close to call.
Yeah.
Besides, I had Pittsburgh last night. Philadelphia is at Chicago. Jake Arrieta, your boy, Roy.
Who cares about Philadelphia?
Yeah, exactly.
You suck, Philadelphia.
We're passing on this game just because Philadelphia sucks. San Diego is at the Dodgers. Greinke is minus 220. I'm passing. The Dodgers are going to win. Take the Dodgers. Greinke's going to probably throw a three-hit shutout, and they're going to beat San Diego 10-0. Take it.
Yeah, Dodgers.
Don't take the over.
Dodgers all day.
Cincinnati's at Colorado. Mike Leake at Chatwood. That's too close to call. I'm passing on the game.
Yeah, the thin air in Colorado could go either way.
San Francisco. You got Pettit against Corbin. Corbin's been on fire. No, he hasn't. He sucks. He's 21-5, though. They are when he pitches. San Francisco is my team, and I'm not picking against them, but you can, Roy. You're going to take Arizona?
Yeah, I'll take Arizona.
Okay. Yeah, Boch wouldn't like it if I took them.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be a guest on the show anymore.
Yeah, he got in Miami's in Atlanta.
He's listening.
Oh, here's a tough one. Miami, Eovaldi, who's actually
tough.
Yeah, I'm taking Atlanta. Yeah. Oh, by the way, B.J. Upton, 4 hits yesterday. God, I'm taking Atlanta for another house. Hold on. Hold on. Let me write this down. Another
so don't forget.
House. Oh,
another
and by house. The way, Philly sucks, by
Philly
the way.
Philly sucks.
If anybody doesn't know. New
you
York
suck,
Mets.
Philadelphia.
Hey, by the way, my Mets. Now they're my Mets. My Mets are going to beat the Washington Nationals today.
Nope.
In almost, because they play again tomorrow. You know that, right?
Do they really? It's a 4-game series?
Well, wait a minute. No, you know, yeah, because tomorrow's Labor Day, right? Yeah, I think they do play tomorrow.
You know,
I don't have tickets.
I can easily
check. No, you know what? I think they're off tomorrow.
Tomorrow the Mets play Atlanta.
Yeah, so Washington's on the road.
So Washington
they're on the road
plays
tomorrow.
Philadelphia. You they're suck, Philadelphia!
Are they in Philadelphia?
They're in Philadelphia tomorrow.
Oh, you know what? Let's go up there and let's just cheer against
Philadelphia.
I don't want
to go to Philadelphia.
Let's go up there
you
and wear
Philadelphia. You guys just want to go to Philadelphia
I'm not
and yell
going
at random
Philadelphia
people.
Ever because that city sucks.
I hate you, by the way.
By the way, they'll shoot us up
Philadelphia
there.
Sucks so much that the number one TV show out of Philadelphia is about how much Philadelphia sucks.
Hey, New York Mets.
It's always sunny. Right? It's a great show.
Listen, hey, can I give the Met fans a winner today?
Yeah.
They're going to sweep Washington today with their third straight win.
No
Washington
way.
Last night
I love
looked
Lillendorf.
Like a little league team.
Love
take Lillendorf. The Mets. It's Jonathan Nease. Oh, by the way, in his last 3 games, Roy, 0.82 ERA. He's going against Ross Ohlendorf, who Davey had to take out early last week because in one batter he knew he was done. Not one batter total, one batter in the 5th inning. The only interleague game today is Wilson from the Angels at Milwaukee Loesch. If you play this game for any reason, you need to not watch another sports event the rest of your life. If you're watching, by the way, the Angels-Milwaukee game, even if you live in Milwaukee or L.A., you have no life.
Philadelphia sucks so much that the Arena Football League is still relevant there.
It is. It is relevant there.
Yeah, Philadelphia Soul. They suck too.
You know the only thing? You know the only thing? Here's the problem with Philadelphia. Everything.
Yeah.
All right, are we done?
I'm glad that we've hammered that point home because I really wanted to hammer that Philadelphia sucks.
All right, let's do this while we're still at it. Let's go over a little trip. Let's talk about a little Triple Crown action. Miguel Cabrera. Hey, Miguel Cabrera, 358 average. He's still – is he leading it? I don't even have all that.
He doesn't have the home runs. I'll bring up the full stats right now.
Yeah, bring up the stats.
Chris
go
Davis,
to MLB.com.
Here we go right here. Cabrera leads the league in RBIs with 130. Chris Davis is behind him by 8 with 122. Chris Davis leads the league, obviously, in home runs with 47, but Cabrera is creeping up on that with 43.
Get that out, Roy.
So Cabrera leads the league in batting average with a 358 average. The guy – I mean, it doesn't matter if he gets the Triple Crown 2 years in a row, because to be this close to back-to-back Triple Crowns after we haven't had a Triple Crown in God knows how long, this guy is the best hitter that we have seen in decades.
He's better. Everybody lost a lot of sleep about Albert Pujols. Who was that? Did you burp? Everybody lost. Everybody, that was me. Everybody lost a lot of sleep over Albert Pujols. And when his steroids got taken away from him, he went to hell in a handbasket. I don't think Miggy Cabrera is on steroids. He's been a big guy forever.
Albert
he was
Pujols.
Always tall and skinny when he was young.
Philadelphia
he's not Ryan
sucks so much that they make Albert Pujols still look like a Triple Crown contender.
All right, who's going to be MVP in the American League? Is it going to be Cabrera?
Yes.
It can't be Mike Trout. He plays for the Angels.
It's Cabrera.
By the way, Trout, listen to these stats. 34 doubles, 8 triples, 23 bombs. 81 walks, only 106 strike. Listen to Cabrera's walk strikeout ratio. 77 walks, 84 strikeouts.
He's sick.
25 doubles, a triple, 43 home runs. Do you know what his on base percentage is? 449. 45 out of 100 times, he's on either first, second, third, or has hit a home run. That's sick.
Yeah.
That is sick.
He is baseball right now.
Mike Trout's OBP is 427. Beautiful. That ain't bad. But Mike Trout's 22 years old. He's got plenty of time.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah, Miggy Cabrera's going to win the MVP. Detroit's going to win the World Series. I called that, by the way, at the beginning of the year. No, I didn't. I said San Francisco was going to win.
Yeah.
We're down to 2 minutes. Pick. Let's look at the pitching. Well, let's look at the
the only way your pick could have sucked more is if Philadelphia was involved.
Well, let's look at the National League MVP first. Real quick, Roy. National League MVP. It's not going to be Molina. It's not going to be Johnson. It's not going to be Jason Worth. It's not going to be Michael Kadir. You know who it could be? McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen has got 33 doubles, 4 triples, 17 home runs, 394 OBP. He's like tops in OBP. You know who else is tops? Paul Goldschmidt. Jeez. You know, Goldschmidt's got a shot at MVP. Listen to this. 28 doubles, 1 triple, 31 home runs, 104 RBIs. It's either going to be Goldschmidt or McCutchen in the National League. Let's look at the Cy Young Award. We have 1 minute left, Roy. Cy Young Award. Let's go for pitching.
You, Darvish?
No. I don't know what I'm doing. Where am I
You don't
pitching?
Like Darvish? I like Darvish.
Really?
236 strikeouts on the year. That's 35 above the next guy. I mean, he's just blowing people away this year. And he's got a great record, and he's on one of the top pitching staffs in baseball. Yu Darvish is the man right now.
All right, I'm going to tell you who's going to win it right now. You ready? Are you ready?
Scherzer has 19 wins. That's pretty crazy.
You know, it could be anybody. You know what? I don't even
Kershaw has a 1.7 ERA.
It's going to be Kershaw in the National League.
It's one of the...
In the American League, who do you have? In the American League, who do you have?
Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish and Kershaw are my two. Harvey would have made a push, but he hurt his arm.
All right.
Philadelphia, you suck.
Roy, great show. Hey, we're playing golf tomorrow, Roy, me and you. For Roy, Matt, and me, and a big thanks to Manish Mehta,
suck
New York Daily News. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week.